Nixie, Trixie, and the Soldier, or The Decline and Fall of Merry Old England. Chapter 6, The Mystery in the Garden.
First, Trixie says he'll call the police, but then remembers all those sticks of dynamite he's got in the back room and thinks better of it. McConaughey's sure it's a burglar who's after his telescope. What luck he's hid the key to the potting shed among the nettles.
"Who'd ever want any of your old junk?"
says Trixie scornfully. McConaughey peers over his bifocals.
"I merely advanced it as a logical hypothesis that..."
"Oh, what?"
I am hippopotamus,
explains the soldier.
"Oh, do shut up,"
says Trixie, furious now.
"Why does everyone talk such nonsense in my house always?"
"Yours?"
comes Mixie's voice sharply from the kitchen among the clatter of the washing up.
"You know very well it's mine. I inherited it from my aunt."
"Findings, keepings,"
jibes Trixie.
"Worse luck."
Just then, a nose is seen peering in through a magnifying glass at the sitting room window. Mixie, who's just bringing in the Ovaltine, gives a scream, and the face disappears. Well, there's nothing for it. They'll have to slip out by the back door, sneak up, and grab this dangerous intruder from behind. But not Professor McCology.
"Och, nay, not on your life."
He refuses to have anything to do with it. So, out they go. Neither Trixie nor the soldier feeling quite so brave as he ought to. Chilled to the bone, soaked through by the rain and with the owl's eyes staring down at him like two yellow searchlights, the prowler stands shivering in the darkness. What's going on in there? All those sinister shadows with big noses flitting about behind blinds and curtains. Well, he can't help it, can he? It's his fate, his destiny. Though scared half out of his wits, he's determined at all costs to rescue the lovely lady with the black eyes. He moves nearer, and a rusty monster grabs at his leg among the brambles. Yes. There she is again, between the curtains. Just as he's holding up his magnifying glass to take a closer look, a ruthless hand grabs him by the collar and lifts him off his feet. He gives a shriek of terror. In the light from the sitting room window, a hairy face, cross-eyed and mottled all over, is staring down at him. It shouts.
"And what have we here?"
"This is only his own me.
Gasps the little chap, half stifled.
I done nothing. Let go."
He's so terrified he hardly notices the soldier's friendly face beaming down at him on the other side. Trixie carries him squirming into the house and drops him on the carpet.
"Now, my little man, my little Snoopy,
he says, standing with his back to the fire.
"You'll be so good as to tell us just what you've been up to out there."
I ain't nothing,
whispers Snoopy, half dead with fright in the cross glare of two bloodshot eyes.
"No, but you were going to. I know the likes of you. Don't you realise this is a very respectable neighbourhood? You're a public menace."
"With or stray?"
says Mrs. H. from the rocking chair, biting off her thread.
Ought to be in a home.
Funny little man, funny little man,
squeaks Tea Drop, hopping round the room on one leg with her yo-yo.
I insist on knowing what you've been up to in my garden,
thunders Trixie.
Well, I'll turn you over to the police.
We're just going to rescue the lovely lady.
Rescue?
Roars Trixie in his most terrifying voice. The one that makes the Floradora china rattle on Mixie's dresser.
What from?
Snoopy fainted. But Mixie's had enough of her hubby's ranting and raving. Running over, she picks him up.
Am I not master in me own house?
Shouts Trixie.
No, you're not. Go to bed.
When Snoopy comes to, he finds he's on the sofa, tucked up among Mixie's blankets and hot water bottles, and being spoon-fed what's left of her bread-and-butter pudding.
Poor little chap,
she murmurs.
Can't have had a bite to eat for weeks.
After all, one more is as makes no difference.
The more we are together, the merrier we shall be. Oh, never mind the weather, but don't be late for tea.
Next day, she sends the soldier to help Snoopy fetch his belongings. They come back, all out of breath, lugging an old suitcase. All it has in it is dozens of much-thumbed whodunits and a faded red toothbrush, which she throws away and gives him a new one. Since Snoopy's afraid of the dark, the soldier offers to share his room with him, the one with the cupboard in. Snoopy must have read every whodunit ever written. He's been in on all Sherlock Holmes's most exciting cases, from the Speckled Band to the Four Just Men. Hercule Poirot is his hero, and May Gray his best friend, or rather has been. For now, the soldier is. How the soldier secretly admires Hercule Snoopy Poirot, that great detective. There's no mystery he can't solve. Is there a mystery about Snoopy himself? Perhaps. We shall see. Mixie has given them a nightlight which is throwing scary shadows on the walls.
I'd give my life for her,
the soldier says in a deep voice, which goes straight to the cupboard's heart.
Do you think it'll come to that?
Stammers Snoopy anxiously.
Who knows?
Says the soldier in his best beef-eater voice.
What things can come to?
Tea Drop, who ought to have been in bed and asleep long ago, has got into the cupboard. How huge it is! It was Mixie's mum's, and seems only to get bigger and bigger as the years go by, till there's nothing it hasn't room for. Tea Drop makes a ghosty noise, rustling Mixie's old dresses she'll never get into again, but can't bring herself to throw away.
What's that?
Whispers Snoopy.
Nothing. The wind.
The soldier reassures himself, yawning.
Didn't you have no home, then?
Me never do, me mum,
mumbles Snoopy, also yawning.
Didn't have no dad, neither, as far as I can make out.
Well, that's always something, thinks the soldier to himself, a bit envious. Wishes he hadn't.
How was you brought up, then?
Snoopy says he was brought up in Bernardo's. But just then, Tea Drop makes an even more ghosty noise. And the soldier doesn't hear him right.
Bananas?
He echoes, alarmed. Not one of them tarantulas. But Snoopy's dropped off.